Over the next four Sundays, Sunday evenings that is, we're going to be looking at various psalms. And so we're going to go ahead and start in Psalm 1. So you may want to open your Bibles up to Psalm 1. We're going to spend some time working through that psalm tonight. And then I'm just picking various psalms, random psalms to work through. Some that we'll know very well, some that maybe we aren't as familiar with. And one of the things about the Psalms is that they were, in a sense, the hymnal for the Jewish people. Through their interaction with the Psalms, they came to know more about God. These were the words that they would sing to God. They were the words that they would offer to God in good times and in bad times. They sustained their faith in many ways. And so we're going to go ahead and start with Psalm 1. Before we get into the lesson, though, one thing I want to mention is that I think we mentioned this morning, but we're so glad that we have Marcus and Christine McClary with us this past week. Marcus was baptized into Christ, and we are just so very thankful that you made that decision, and I've decided to be a part of this church family specifically. We are blessed to have you. We hope to work alongside one another in the kingdom, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're so very glad that he has made that decision. A great example to us of courage and faith. And we want to be a church family that offers and demonstrates God's love in this world. And so it's our hope that we can all partner together in doing that. Psalm chapter 1 reads like this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. You probably know some people that you've interacted with. Maybe it's a friend or a coworker. It seems like life has dealt them one difficult blow after another. And you wonder, how are they sustained? How do they continue on with life, considering all the issues that they faced in their life? I have a friend named Kent that I went to Oklahoma Christian with, and Kent is a solid young man. He works with the church, the Northwest Church in Oklahoma City, and has for several years, grew up in that congregation. But Kent, in the span of just a couple years, he was a high schooler and then a college student, lost both of his parents. And so here Kent was in his early 20s, dealing with the loss of both parents. He found himself responsible for his brother and sister, and had to do all that that is involved with selling houses and taking care of properties and inheritance and all those kind of things. And so much responsibility at a young age. But through the hardships that Kent experienced, he remained faithful and steadfast. And in many ways, you could say he's all the stronger for the suffering that he felt when he was about 18 to 21 years old. And you look at people like that and you wonder, how do they do it? How do they make it? How do they remain so faithful? I think this psalm, Psalm chapter 1, answers my question about Kent in so many ways. How does he remain faithful? How is he so steadfast, even based on the difficult situations that he's faced? Kent is one of those people that is firmly rooted in the instructions of the Lord, and because of it, he is an incredible witness of God's goodness and power in the world. So let's go back, we're going to look at the section by section. Let's start again with verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So the psalmist begins this psalm by saying that blessed is the one who doesn't do a few different things. So it starts in sort of a negative sense. The one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinner, that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. That person is blessed. And you have to love the decline that you read there. First, it's walking with sinners, right? And then it is standing in the way of the sinners take, or walking in step with the wicked, then standing in the way that sinners take, or sitting in the company of mockers. And so you have these people that don't honor God in their life, and blesses the person who doesn't go that way. First of all, walking, then sort of standing with these people, and then sitting with these people. These people that do this are not blessed. Instead, the ones who are blessed are the ones who delight in the law of the Lord, who meditate on His word day and night. I think it's fair to ask the question, or important to ask the question, what does the psalmist mean by blessed? And to think through that question of this idea of blessed or blessing, we can use words like happy or fortunate to talk about the word blessed. But I would like Scripture to answer the question of what the psalmist means by blessed. There's two passages I'd like us to look at. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. So the psalmist says, blessed is a certain person. And the blessing of the Lord is found in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, at least an explanation of the blessing of the Lord. Says there, this is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses speaking. So that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such a righteous decree and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? So Moses is preaching to the people toward the end of Moses' life. And he says that God's people, the Israelites, will draw the attention of the nations. And it is because of a few different things. One is the people's wisdom and understanding. Also, the presence of the Lord with them. Other nations will see the Israelites and say, how great is that, that this nation has a God that is near them like Yahweh is. It says their laws. They're so just. They're so fair. They're so righteous. That's an indication of the blessing of the Lord. And then Psalm 19, 7 through 11. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. Here we read this. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. So according to this passage, as the psalmist praises God for His instruction, for His law, for His statutes and precepts, he says, the person that follows them has a refreshed soul. That is blessing. The instruction of the Lord bring joy to the heart. They bring light to the eyes. Those that follow the decrees of the Lord enjoy great reward. And so that is the blessing that the psalmist is talking about. I believe it's what he's in Psalm 1, when he's talking about the blessings of the Lord. I believe that's what he's talking about. You look at Psalm 19, and it talks about, it uses phrases like the word of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord is sweeter than honey. It's firm, and it's great, and it's worthy of praising God for and about. Notice there's nothing cold or rigid about the law of the Lord here. The psalmist isn't bemoaning the fact that there is a law that needs to be followed by the people. Instead, it's something worth praising God over. Why is that? I believe that the Israelites understood that the law of the Lord was actually grace. You have the Creator God saying, I will live in relationship to you, and here's the way that it's going to happen. As you live out the instructions that I'm giving you, I will be near you. I will work in your lives. You can enjoy my presence. The law came to mean all that God revealed through Moses to Israel. So it wasn't just do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. But it was all that God had revealed to the people through Moses and others. So Torah is the word there for law. It's God's gift intended to show Israel how to live a holy and happy life in this world, a life lived in the presence of God. In verse 2, it says that blessed is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord. That word meditate there is the word haggah. So you don't need to remember that, but here's why it's important that I mention that to you tonight. In Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 4, we read this. As a lion or a young lion growls over its prey, and so forth. That word growl there is the word haggah. In Psalm 1, that word is meditate. So what is the connection between meditating over the law of the Lord and a lion growling over its prey? You think about a growl, how intense it is, how fierce it is. That kind of fierceness, that kind of intensity toward the law of the Lord is what it is to meditate over the law of the Lord. It is something to intensely desire. There's also another side of it, though, maybe even more to the point. As Israel would sing these psalms or chant these psalms or recite them together, as everyone was saying them together, it would almost be like a lion growling. There would be a noise that would be made. If you ever notice when you, a lot of times when you read stuff together, a lot of times it doesn't just sound really great because people have different speeds at which they read, and people have different inflection in which they say words and all those kind of things. That's kind of part of the idea of the community saying these psalms together, that they would be praising God for the law of the Lord, and it would be like a growl. It'd be loud. And so you have these kind of ideas working there. Let's move on now. Verse 3. The person that meditates on the Lord, and then it says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So within the very psalm, there's more that's said about the blessed life. The person who meditates on the word of the Lord, or the community that meditates on the word of the Lord, is like a tree that's planted by streams of water. We've probably all seen these kind of trees that are planted by water, how sturdy they are, because they have life-giving water. And so they have continual nourishment. And so they're solid and sturdy and large. Where I was growing up, there was a creek or a crick. We used to call it a crick, but I think down here you probably say creek. But there was a creek that ran by our house. And there were just huge trees all along. We used to play on those trees. We used to sit in those trees and fish off of them. Climb up to the top of them, all that kind of stuff. But I remember near that creek, there were just huge trees. And the psalmist says that that person who remains in the law of the Lord, who meditates over, who growls over the word of the Lord, is like those trees that are planted by water. They have continual nourishment. They're solid. They're sturdy. And so when the different issues of life come up, that person remains steadfast. But even more than that, that person continually produces fruit. So what's the fruit, I wonder, that he's talking about? I think part of it would be that person would glorify God in all that they would do. Love, service, compassion, care. The things that we read about when we look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, I believe that is a life that is producing fruit. We know that in Jesus' teaching, he's often going to refer to people bearing fruit in their lives. Either you bear good fruit or you bear bad fruit. The psalmist says that the one that meditates in the law of the Lord, the Torah, produces fruit. They produce service, love, and care. They glorify God in all they do. And it says that they will prosper. And I don't think that simply means financially. I think that there's so much more to having a prosperous life than just having money. But think about relationships and family and just enjoying a flourishing life, things like that. Continuing on now, verses 4 through 6. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So the opposite of the blessed life, the blessed righteous life, is a wicked life. And of course, where is the righteous life, the one that is rooted in the law of the Lord, produces fruit? The one that is not rooted in the word of the Lord, that person is like chaff. And back in those days, when they would have a harvest, they would take their wheat and other grains and they would shake them out and drop them. And the stuff that would blow away, that's the stuff that they didn't want anymore. That was the chaff. That's what I understand from commentaries and things like that. He says that's the person who is not rooted in the Lord. And so their life, when the wind blows, their life just flies away. They're not firmly rooted next to the streams of living water. Something important to point out, too, is in this psalm, there's no in-between state. There's no righteous, wicked, and kind of somewhere in the middle. The psalmist assumes that a person or even the community is either righteous or they're wicked. It sort of reminds us of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 7. There's the narrow way, and then there's the wide way. It's one or the other. Something that we need to continually be asking ourselves as we reflect on our own lives is, are we on the righteous path? Are we that tree that's firmly planted? Or are we on the wicked path? Are we like that chaff that is so easily blown away? There's one path. One path. That's what the psalm is getting across to us. There's no middle ground. I think it's important, too, that we recognize that this is how the book of the Psalms begins. 150 psalms. It takes up a good chunk of our Old Testament. It starts by talking about the importance of meditating on the law of the Lord. And so in our own lives, as we think about how this all applies to us, one thing I'd like to encourage all of us to do is spend time reading Scripture, all of the instructions of the Lord, but also spend time reading the Psalms. Each day, maybe take one of the Psalms and read it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Allow the words of the Psalms to be infused into your lives. I believe that we will be blessed for that. We will live a life that glorifies God. Beyond that, as we think about living a life that is firmly planted in the instruction of the Lord, like the Psalm talks about, I would encourage you to maybe have a verse of the day. Allow the word of the Lord to just, like I said, be infused in your life. And maybe it's not each day I'm going to read a chapter or an entire book. I'm not encouraging not to do that. That would be great to do. But maybe even allow just one verse to kind of wash over you for the day. Reflect on that. For instance, I mean, what if you took a very simple passage from Jesus' teaching, like what we've already mentioned, you know, take the narrow way instead of the wide way. As you allow that passage to work in your life, you'll start to think, am I taking the narrow way? Is my life demonstrating that I'm following Jesus in all that I do? So sometimes just taking one verse and allowing it to wash over you can be a very good thing to do. Very simple is for families to have a family devotional. You know, just spend time reading Scripture together. For parents and even grandparents, you know, don't expect, this is strong and an overstatement, I realize, but don't expect your children or even your grandchildren to be really excited about the Word of the Lord and desire to just drink up God's Word if you're not doing that yourself. You have to model this. You have to live it out. Back to the Jewish community. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Moses is addressing the people, he talks about having the Word of the Lord posted throughout the house, like over the door frames and things. And he says, talk about these things with your children. Instruct your children in these kind of things. And so it's very important to make the Word of God a part of everything that you do as a family. You know, when we're doing Bible lessons and things like that, read it. Whether it's in your an actual Bible or now on your smartphone, have it open. Get into the habit of continually reflecting on the Word of the Lord. And so that's the lesson for tonight. Very, very simple. The Psalm 1 begins by saying, by calling us to have a life that is firmly planted in Torah, in the instruction of the Lord. I'll just end with this question. Is your life firmly planted in the Word of the Lord? We're going to sing a song now, and as is our custom, if there's anybody that needs the prayers of this assembly or is ready to be baptized, whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.